Welcome to our final episode of Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit for the Smithers, BC area on CICK 93.9 FM. I'm Christine Bruce.
And I'm Laszlo Polgar.
We've called this episode Till It Bleeds Daylight, based on Bruce Coburn's song, Lovers in a Dangerous Time. These lyrics seem fitting for such precarious times politically and socially. Laszlo and I have invited a very special guest to our wood stove conversation today. Dr. Lee Ayrton, author of the book Gender Your Guide, will join us to consider a few final thoughts on being genderqueer in today's world. As you'll hear, Lee and Laszlo are fun and interesting people, but they're also brave. They speak out about things that need to change, and I, for one, consider myself incredibly lucky to know them. Dr. Lee Ayrton is an assistant professor of gender and sexuality studies and education at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. My first awareness of Dr. Ayrton was a few years ago when my daughter lived next door to Lee and their partner. They became fast friends, naming them as godparents to my grandchildren. They're now very much family to me. But that's not why or even how this podcast journey began. Lee wrote a book called Gender Your Guide, and my daughter was casually sharing its value on social media. Having never met Lee at the time, I picked up a copy and was gobsmacked. And then Laszlo Polgar serendipitously got a job at a Smithers business that I happened to visit often this year for work. And we got talking about gender. And our journey meandered to become Suddenly I See. My life is so much better for knowing these two marvelous humans, Laszlo and Lee. You can find out more about Lee at leeayrton.com. That's L-E-E-A-I-R-T-O-N.
My name is Wendy Wright. I'm the director of the Smithers Public Library, and I want everyone in this community and beyond to know that libraries are for everyone.
I'm Allie Howard from Nature's Pantry. We're proud to support Suddenly I See on CICK Community Radio.
Let me begin by welcoming Dr. Lee Ayrton and my dear friend, Laszlo Polgar, to the Suddenly I See and conversation about how things have developed over the years for the genderqueer community. I'm delighted to put two of my favorite people into a room together. Already, it's just such good energy. Welcome. Welcome.
Aw, thank you so much for having me, Christine and Laszlo. I am just absolutely tickled that you felt like my book would be something that people in Smithers would connect to. And I'm just, yeah, I've loved listening to the podcast, and I've been so grateful for both of your generosity and what you shared about your own experiences with gender. And it's been such a wonderful thing to come along with. So thanks for having me as you cap it off.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. It's awesome to talk to you finally after hearing so much about you.
Right?
So, it's definitely nice are. To actually like see your face and get to like meet you and talk to you.
Ditto. Awesome. So what do you want to chat about?
I have three prepared questions for you. And I think what I want to do is just throw out the questions one at a time to both Laszlo and Lee, because my guess is that while Laszlo sees things from a micro perspective of a single small town, Lee sees the same things from a macro perspective, having a larger audience with a book and as a university professor. Now, would you both agree with that?
Yeah, no, I'd definitely say that that's probably.
Well, I imagine, like, Laszlo, you probably know more what's going on with the internet. Yeah. I'm just making, like, a generational assumption that maybe if there's something on the internet, you might know more about it. That's more macro. But I think by and large, you're right, Christine, probably.
Okay, well, let's see what happens. Yeah. I'm looking forward to both what you both have to say about these things. Because these sort of questions fascinate me more and more as I get to know more about the community. So let's start with the first one. Do you see more or less acceptance of genderqueer people in society these days? And do you think the political climate, the current climate, is contributing to that?
Mm. Well, I think it's tough. I was saying to my partner the other day after we learned that Mark Carney will, of course, be the next prime minister and however long he's in that role, I found myself saying to my partner, the reason why I'm happy about it is I think he's the kind of person who won't undo much of the good things that the federal liberals have put in place. He'll just keep it going, and he also won't talk about it. I'd like it if we could go back to a time when stuff that was gradually making change and breaking some barriers and just making at least interactions with government just easier for transgender people was just stuff that we were doing as a matter of course, because that's what human rights laws required and what decisions and tribunals and things like that were clearly communicating. I'd like to go back to a time when that work was just happening because that's the work, and a time when it wasn't always in the news, which can seem kind of counterintuitive for people who, participate in activism, but it was actually a really, was a moment till about 16 months ago, that was really cool just to see that work happening. And that's something I think my book has happily participated in. So I'd say we have much more institutional acceptance of trans people, I'd say. You will not find a school or a university, for example, in this country where they haven't already had to think about what to do when a student has they them pronouns or when they need to change their gender in their school record. That's incredible. I'd say even 4 to 5 years ago, most of those institutions were really struggling with what even to do, and many would not have heard that request or had to handle it. There's so much awareness, just basic awareness of what trans means, for better or for worse. I mean, in terms of other people understand, but just knowing that's a thing, knowing what pronouns are, like when I correct someone now who misgenders me, when they rarely do, I'm lucky to say, I know they know what I mean. So that's huge, right? But the problem is that now we have a new kind of thing in the past year and a half of people not just having a sense that pronouns are there and trans people are there, but knowing enough to form a very biased negative view. So we don't really have a lot of people who don't know anything anymore. We have people who know enough to have taken an oppositional identity. So that's kind of what's new, I think. But it does not take away from the fact that the awareness and education around gender diversity effort that's happened over the past 7 to 8 years has really been incredible. It's just that now a bunch of people know enough to take an oppositional identity about gender diversity. What do you
Yeah,
think, Laszlo?
definitely. Honestly, I think you kind of like hit the mark for everything like I was about to say. I guess I had like a much more dumbed down and simplified version of
Oh my
that.
gosh, stop
But yeah,
it.
no, pretty much. Like I feel like as far as like socially goes, that there's a lot more education in what these things are and like being aware of them, but I have kind of seen that like backpedaling as far as like acceptance goes into that biased attitude and kind of believing that they're not the right things to be like. Yeah, definitely pretty much the same sentiment. There's a lot of education happening, but also a lot of biases and issues kind of arising because of that awareness.
And I unfortunately, I think the folks who, whatever discomfort that they felt because they didn't know what to say about somebody, or they were told, actually, this is what I like to be called, or they sort of got a little whiff of these issues from media. I think unfortunately, I would say after the pandemic, when so much of our lives went online, we're able, as a research community, we're able to trace the rise of just rampant misogyny among boys and young men in K-12 schools. Just rampantly re-emerging, including like quite violent misogyny, to a time during the pandemic when we started to see increases of that behavior. We're starting to see intolerance, increasing levels of intolerance coming out of a study in Quebec showing that young men and women in high school are far more intolerant of having queer friends or trans friends, just like the idea of that, than they were before the pandemic. And I think people have just become so bombarded with information that if they had a feeling of discomfort, they have found a home for that feeling in a community of people who would like felt feel angry instead of just sort of working through that uncertainty. So it's tough. It's a very recent resurgence,
Yeah,
and
no.
it's coming out strong.
Yeah, I think social media definitely affects a lot of how that intolerance kind of rises and has kind of boomed. COVID, I being like a young person in high school and seeing the effects firsthand of how people started talking about transgender people or women or just really anything, any kind of minority, it got pretty intense. There's been a lot of people that I see just kind of letting their children be raised on their iPads and their social media and YouTube, and that opens the door for a lot of creators and a lot of influencers who like push messages and negative ideals as like their message will a lot of the time prioritize their younger audience into
Oh,
like
yeah.
dragging them into that kind of mindset. And I've seen a lot of creators focusing heavily on young boys and young men's
Oh, yeah.
insecurities
Big
and
time.
their how they feel about themselves, especially growing up. And so that does kind of create that like safe space to vent your feelings and then onwards force those feelings onto being like women's problems and queer people's
Absolutely.
problems. So I definitely think social media has a lot of impact on that. And then COVID just forcing everybody onto social media just created that whole big boom.
Oh, big time. Yeah, it's tough and it's really hard in my experience for teachers, for example, to kind of keep up with what their students are seeing and
Oh, for
hearing
sure.
and repeating and bringing into school that they hear online. It's a constant game of catch up. The memes they talk about and that they share, the language they're using is so out of control, moving so fast, and teachers who aren't in those same online communities or even following the same TikTok accounts don't know that these things, what these things mean that are being said and being shared. So it's wild times. It's wild times. And I'm a little bit encouraged that I sometimes, as a trans person myself, I can feel like this backlash is coming from me. And it's, well, first of all, it's not coming from me to the extent it's coming for trans women. So that's important
For
to note.
sure.
But I feel like this is coming for everything. And so I don't feel like we're alone. You know, like
For
it's
sure.
coming for cis women. Like it's coming for women's reproductive freedom and it's coming for women's right to be free from sexual harassment in the workplace, particularly in school. It's coming for reconciliation and whether that's a worthwhile project or not, that and obviously I believe it is, but that's what it's coming for. And
Yeah, for sure.
so I think as soon as we all figure out that this backlash of trans people is this tip of the spear, I think we'll be less alone, you know, because I don't know about you, but it can feel like everything's piling on sometimes.
Yeah, I kind of get that feeling sometimes, but I'm very much in that mindset of there's so much intersectionality in these kinds of problems that there is so much community that you can kind of share, and a lot of people that I can relate to that aren't even trans, and they experience these very similar social situations. And so there's a lot of community to be had, even just outside the trans community.
Yeah, cheers. That absolutely. I obviously think that it's one of my biggest kind of planks in my book. And I loved hearing, Christine, you really lean into that and access some of your own gendered experiences of gender too, the whole time. It was really cool to hear.
Well, the more I got to know Laszlo, the more I sensed their discomfort and sometimes fear of just being who they are. And I wanted to acknowledge that. I mean, I don't understand it at all, and yet, you know, there's these little things that I can hang my hat on. But I'm listening to you both, and I'm thinking, wow, these changes in our society where people are forcing us all to fit into narrow boxes, you must feel very exposed and sometimes really uncomfortable about stepping out into the world and just being who you are. And I just would love us to get to a stage where we can just normalize everybody being accepted.
I mean, A, like, yes.
That's the dream.
That's the dream. I think something that I guess, I think I want to lean into something you said because one of my favorite things that I added in the second edition of the book was talking about why I decided to have top surgery in my late 30s. And stepping out into the world as a trans person can be very challenging because of worrying about the ways you're going to be treated or received. But I think something that a lot of folks may not understand about transition and gender-affirming healthcare is that literally being able to feel like you are more like the image you have of yourself and being more comfortable in your body makes it so much easier to do. so much easier to do. So there's kind of two things that can happen to make it easier to be yourself in the world. And one is external and people changing their attitudes and behaviors and taking down barriers and things like that. And the other one is, well, enabling access to gender-affirming healthcare because we know who we are and we know what we need. Full stop. If you ever feel, listeners out there, like you don't know why someone would pursue gender-affirming healthcare, the reason is we know. We know.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Nobody takes this lightly. Nobody does this quickly. Nobody makes a snap decision, but we deeply do know what is needed for us to feel like we are who we are. Full stop.
I mean, Elliot Page's physical presence is so different from when I was first introduced to Ellen Page. And the minute
Yeah,
I
he looks
saw
great.
this video, I thought, woohoo, I want to throw a party because this is the Page that Elliot wants to
Yeah, Elliot's
be.
wicked. Yeah. That's the euphoria. You
So
kind of see it just
upsetting.
falling off him, right? Like in waves. He's just so at ease.
Yes.
So nice to see.
And so much more
Definitely.
confident now.
Yeah.
Way more confident. And it's
Yeah.
super kind of like inspiring seeing somebody in such a big role be able to come out and not have it negatively impact their career in any like huge
Yeah,
way.
for real.
Like that's super cool to see.
Oh, yeah. Totally puts paid to the idea that you have to sort of go away and come back completely kind of transitioned and cisgender passing if you're going to be in some kind of high profile role.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's a huge, huge deal. And it's just so nice to be in the same timeline as Elliot Page.
For Isn't it
sure.
though? I love it so
Yes.
much.
And that's the other thing I talk about in the book. Like, I think when we can actually, especially as cisgender people, when folks can kind of see and really feel the joy that a trans person has in ourselves and our gender, I think we are teachers. Like, I think we are teachers of what it is to feel that and allow that joy and not just have a story that it just is who you it is who you are and that's it, you know? My cat is participating in this interview.
As
Hello,
they do.
Smithers. It's Juniper, the 28-toed cat from Kingston, Ontario, whose
Whose
cat is
cat?
making the
Whose cat?
Zoom noise in the recording is very normal.
If there's a listener-supported radio station, it means that people can get daily, every day, a different way of looking at the world, not just what the corporate media want you to see. But a different picture, different understanding, but a different picture, different understanding. Not only can you hear it, but you can participate in it. You can add your own thoughts, and you can learn something and so on. Well, that's the way, well, that's the way, well, that's the way people become human, That's the way you become human participants in a social and political system.
Hi, this is Dave Harris of Bulky Valley Brewery and Smithers Grind. We have support with the show Suddenly I See You to open up conversations about a community that needs to have more conversation about it.
You are listening to Suddenly I See, a gender toolkit on CICK 93.9 FM in the Smithers, BC area. We're your hosts, Christine Bruce.
And I'm Laszlo Polgár.
Today is our final episode of Suddenly I See, and we're hosting Dr. Lee Ayrton, author of the book Gender, Your Guide. In the first half of this episode, we three discuss the current political and social climate around acceptance of genderqueer people in society. In the second half, I asked Lee and Laszlo if they'd share ideas for building an atmosphere of inclusion when you feel pressure to conform. Lee and Laszlo are outspoken advocates, warm and gentle human beings living genuine lives because we aren't all cookie cutter, and thank God for that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the second question. I was watching the movie Chocolat, and it affected me
Yeah.
deeply. As in most small towns in Canada, Smithers has a lot of churches. And as a result, there's always both subtle and outright pressure to conform to religious teachings and behaviors here. Now, I'm not a churchgoer, but I certainly feel the pressure myself at times. So in the movie, Père Henri, the town's young priest, gives a sermon at the end, emphasizing the importance of humanity over divinity. And I love this quote so much. He says, "I think we can't go around measuring our goodness by what we don't do, by what we deny ourselves, what we resist, and who we exclude. I think we've got to measure goodness by what we embrace, what we create, and who we include. So do you two have any suggestions for building an atmosphere of inclusion, regardless of your personal or religious beliefs?
My goodness.
I feel like I'm one of those people that have never really had an issue with including someone based off of things like that. That it's such a hard thing to say, like, here's how to do it, because I've never really had to, like, think about it. And I guess that is how to do it, like, in of itself. Just don't overthink it and go with the flow with most interactions, and don't let anything stop you from continuing to talk to a person or see where they're coming from and whatnot, because there's some things that you may disagree with one person, but it's always going to happen. Not everyone is the same, so just be free with of judgment the moment you're walking into something. Because I don't know, I just don't think it's really necessary to be bringing a judgeful gaze to everybody that you meet right off the bat.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because when I think about the question and how it kind of is about faith and religion, I was thinking about how it's so interesting to me that anti-trans, not only most of the activism against including gender diversity and anything to do with schools is also an argument against including sexual diversity, anything in school, like whether it's curriculum or whatever. So those things hold hands. But I think it's interesting how, like, the very public face of that entire movement usually takes issue with transness, and particularly the idea of trans kids and supporting trans kids, particularly when the parents aren't supportive, and how that is so often connected to faith or people's religious beliefs around gender. And I think it's very easy. I think it's before we were seeing sort of widespread awareness of and support for the human rights, the gender identity, human rights of kids who do have them. I think it was a lot easier to kind of skate along on this accepting other people, even if you disagree, you know what I mean? Like having an open mind, even if someone is part of a religious community where there is some sort of doctrinal objection to being trans or being queer or gay or lesbian or whatever. I think it was easier to sort of skate along on that kind of don't judge, be open-minded kind of idea. I think this became hot politics when people started to try to focus on kids, knowing the idea that, like, I can be accepting. I even hear this kind of rhetoric from people who are very much in favor of the kinds of laws we see in Alberta that take away trans youth's right to be called their name pronouns at school. People who are in favor of those laws even saying things like, well, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with how people live their life. I'm okay with whoever you are. I'm just not okay with my children encountering that in any way. You know, so I think it's quite a challenge for conversations that span different ideologies and different faith communities with very different views about gender and sexual diversity. I think whether people can sort of be tolerant of gender and sexual diversity over here is really challenged when they think about their own children becoming aware of gender and sexual diversity. I think that's really the fault line that our society is dealing with right now.
Yeah,
it's tough.
I've always been kind of the thought of, I will tolerate you, but I don't tolerate intolerance. I, like, if you're intolerant of any kind of group of people, it doesn't even matter if it's just trans people, I can't accept that. I don't really jive with that. And I feel like that want and need to protect your child and shelter your child from seeing and knowing about queer people is just more of that intolerance, because if there's trans kids and there's queer kids, then you're gonna have to one day accept that your child is going to interact with another queer person that's their age. And you can't really shelter them to that point.
No,
then you can't shelter them from reality. I don't really see how it's something you can control in that sense.
You can't. And that's the big crisis that's unfolding in public education in Canada, is the idea that in order to offer an environment free from discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation and gender identity and gender expression to children and youth and families and educators who are, you know, queer or trans, in order to do that legal job of having that space, we got to talk about our lives. that is just what is required, right? It is the work of the school to ensure that there is not discrimination towards our communities. That's their legal duty in your province and in mine. And the idea that there are ways that we can prevent people from learning about gender and sexual diversity is completely at odds with that legal requirement to provide that environment. That's why in some ways I see this as a battle for public education.
For sure.
There's a lot of concern out there that because it's just we are learning and we'll keep learning. My prediction over the next 5 years, even as this backlash rages, that there's no daylight. There's no way to remove the human rights, legal human rights obligations of schools and school boards. And that most of this backlash in schools is asking for that. It's simply not possible for schools to do what folks are asking them to do, to restrict curriculum and to not use people's pronouns. I mean, it violates the charter. That's why Saskatchewan has to take those steps that they did. But I think a lot of people are really worried that we're going to see a mass exodus from public schools. That's a real concern because it's not possible to meet that legal obligation and also prevent children enrolled in public school, children and youth, from learning about the diversity in the world around them and how to respect it. So
yeah.
Buckle up.
Yeah. My daughter has twins who are 3 years old, and they have just been enrolled in public school. And, you know, my daughter and I have had long conversations about, well, do we put the children into public school? Do we put them in private? Do we homeschool them? Because there are so many challenges today that, well, we could have faced them in my generation. We didn't. And so it was a non-issue. There was none of this pressure. And I don't want my grandchildren to feel like they have to question your sexuality. You're their godparent, for heaven's sake.
So yes.
Questioning somebody at school's putting this stuff in their head.
Yeah.
And also, I'm concerned because I think there are, maybe I'm wrong about this, but I see there are two issues. First of all, parents trying to protect their children from this content, but also parents not trusting their children to understand their own
or gender identity.
Can't possibly know yet. You're too young to. And I've met several people now who they definitely know, and it's not my job to tell them they don't know.
Oh yeah.
So I'm worried for the future of the education system.
Yeah, that's the thing. Me too. I am, and as much as I'm part of it, I'm also worried. And I think that something that's really important in this age of people increasingly being able to not say what they mean by using terms like being anti-woke or saying DEI, or even parental rights. Like, I'm just in favor of parental rights. I think it's really important, if we're going to have honest conversations with each other in this very challenging time, to not allow folks to just say those things that mean they don't have to say what they mean. You're in favor of parental rights. Unfortunately, if we dig deep enough, we usually just find views that are deeply, and I'm sorry to say it, deeply anti-trans and anti-queer. Because it's very much the parental right to prevent my children from learning about these things, for I am concerned they may be those things.
Yep.
Or they may come to think they are.
Yeah,
in that kind of language.
Parental rights.
It's really tough. Yeah. So when we hear people say things, and I increasingly want our political commentators to do this to each other, because I listen to a lot of cross-partisan political commentary to kind of make sure I'm up on what's going on at the different governmental levels. And I often hear folks say, like, oh, all this DEI whatever and this woke whatever, that's why the Trudeau Liberals were in trouble. And I just want them to say, what are you saying? Right? Are you saying that children and youth in public schools shouldn't learn about their friends? Like, are you saying that gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender people shouldn't get to be teachers? Is that what you're saying? Like, are you saying you don't think that children should have to learn about the legacy of colonization residential schools in this country, because they may wonder why there's so many differences in wealth or in how nice someone's home is, quote unquote, because their friend is Indigenous and their family are settlers? So they're just gonna, like I did when I was a child, just be taught that we are somehow better as settlers because our houses look, quote unquote, nicer or better, or we live in different kinds of neighborhoods. And where I grew up, it was in very unceded Musqueam territory. just down the street from the Musqueam Reservation in Vancouver. So I just think we have to push each other to say what we actually mean. And it's tough. Not all of us can have those conversations. I don't always have the spoons for them myself, but I think that's a good place to start to really help folks who are hearing those kinds of terms and talking points online to really think, what actually do I mean? You know?
You know, I just finished reading Murray Sinclair's book, Who We Are, and I think that should be a required reading for everyone in Canada. I mean, I've lived here all my life. My grandmother was full status Anishinaabe, and yet there were things in that book that I thought, really? Yeah. Wow. I should know this, and I should be I should be aware of our history. But Lee, I also want to say that I have, you know, this sounds like a very despairing conversation, but I have so much hope right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because the end of the conversation that I had with my daughter was, well, why not put the kids into public school? Because
of course
they're being raised in a family that's very accepting of everyone and that embraces and loves what we see around us. And we don't know what these two children, what's in their future, but we want to support them and be there with them for it and celebrate whatever it is. And I think that's a very healthy attitude. And if we take those two kids out of the public school system, then the public school system suffers.
I agree.
You need confident, strong, supported people in there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and they have you, and they have your partner, and I mean, they have so much going for them. We're so lucky. We're so
lucky. I love those little people. They're some of my, your daughter's twins are some of my best buddies in this world. And I think, I mean, I also, as you know, I love your daughter and her husband very much, and I will support whatever they choose. It's weird to talk about them on the radio, but like, I want them to have their children in public school, because like, I know that when anything comes up, your daughter is going to be down at the school offering feedback and support for things that are really important, regardless of who her children end up being or how they identify or who they'd like to be with or with anybody, you know? So I think it's so important for your listeners to know that if you feel like something that's happening at your kid's school that is welcoming of diversity or welcoming of 2SLGBTQ plus people, it's really important for folks who maybe don't identify as part of our community to be vocal in your support for these things happening at your school. Really important. That can even go farther than our support, because our support is assumed. And especially in times of backlash, school authorities tend to be very concerned about their own safety. I'm actually part of a group called Lawyers Against Transphobia, and we are writing a handbook for people in school who are being attacked, doxxed, targeted, etc., by transphobic groups and organizations and individuals. And we know our first chapter is for school trustees, the people who run the school system, because even if they are not part of our community, they know that their role is helping to create school environments that are free from discrimination. So they are getting some of this blowback too. So I guess I'm hopeful, Christine, because I think everyone who's part of these systems is learning that we all kind of have a stake in it. That's what's giving me a lot of hope. You know, is the backlash is touching people who might not have realized that they have skin in this game and who are responding big time. So I'm very hopeful. And it's hard. This is a hard time. Really hard time for our people, as you know, as well as I do, Laszlo. So
yeah,
a really great timing for this radio show, for sure.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah, no, I think there probably couldn't have been a better time for it to start up.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it was also a really great time for me, because getting to know both of you has enriched my life in ways that I never expected. I can't tell you how lucky I feel to know both of you, because you've invented my world. Wonderful path of, what are the possibilities today?
Well, that's the most, I mean, that the most important thing is for people who may or may not have personal connections with queer and trans people to do what you do and what you are modeling for your community. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, thank you. Okay, I have one more question for both of you. And I think it's the key question, in my opinion. What do you wish the public knew about transgender people?
One thing, eh? What do you think, Laszlo?
Really, I wish that the first assumption wasn't that we are like any different from any other person. At the end of the day, we are the exact same as everyone else. There's just a little bit more work that had to go behind how we present ourselves. And that's really about it.
Totally.
I feel because that really like branches into a lot of demonizing and othering attitudes. So once you get rid of that problem, it would be way easier to get across so many more borders.
Totally. My day involves just really making sure that I remember to do my workout, you know, like I'm really aspiring to vegetarianism. So my a big challenge in my life is like when I'm presented with cold cuts to turn away from them and eat something else. Cause all I really like is pepperoni and like mortadella. Like that's what I love. And I just don't eat it anymore. Cause I love, I think pigs are great, you know? So like, that's my, that's a challenge. Or like my partner and I figuring out like who gets to drive the slightly newer car. And like, also, I'd like to point out my problems are problems of like a lot of people of my income bracket have, right? Like, it's, that's what it is. That's trans people in any income bracket in any geographic area. Like, chances are our day looks pretty much like everyone else's day. You know, like, oh, crap, my phone's contacts are no longer syncing with my computer, you know, like normal, silly problems. I would love it if the average person who has taken on opinions about gender diversity, about trans people, about our healthcare, about what kids learn about us, I'd really like it if the first thing they could imagine is that our day is basically the same.
Yeah.
It's like daylight savings really was challenging today. Like I'm having fun with YouTube and I was a little bit grumpy most of the day because I didn't quite get enough sleep and I wasn't tired and I went to bed. Like these are transgender issues. These two are trans people's problems, you know? Like, I don't know about you, Laszlo, but yeah, I'd like it if people honestly defaulted like to that idea.
my trans problems are just, your every day to day. Like, I have this crazy busy day today. It's so stressful.
When am I going to have lunch? Yeah, totally. My AirPods won't connect to my phone. I mean, like, this is literally, like, why? They always did before, you know? I mean, is there a sneaky update? Like, yeah. That's it. Yeah. I can't understand the bus schedule. Like these are, these are things, you know, that's it. I wish that was the first, I wish that was something that came to mind for people who have strong opinions about us. That would be cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for turning that into a non-question, both of you. You have you have just made my day.
See how easy it can be to be accepting?
Yes, just be like, what'd you have for lunch? Like, literally, that's my favorite thing to talk about. Not my pronouns. No, for real. That's it.
Right there. Wouldn't it be great if we got to a world where everything was normalized and you just did things without asking about stuff?
That's the dream.
That's so awesome.
To circle back to my first thought about the new liberal leader, I think he's the kind of guy who's just going to keep on doing what needs to be done and not talk about it a lot. Like, honestly, that would be cool.
Wouldn't it?
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. I have so much hope for that.
That's what I want.
Well, this has been the most heartwarming conversation that I think I've ever set up between people who have strong feelings, who've had challenging lifestyles, and who are just full of love and hope. And hey, this is like a real hippie moment for me, you know? Love,
bring that back.
Let's bring it on.
That we need more of that. Well, thank you both for having me and for doing this. It's been a real pleasure.
No, it's awesome. I'm so happy to, like, again, like, meet you and see you properly.
Yeah, you too. Right on.
And the book was great. Thank you. Keep writing.
Yes, yes.
Well, I don't know what version 3 will be like, because it'll be a little different, but we'll see. We'll give it a year or so, and then we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll look forward to it.
Looking forward, yeah.
Awesome.
And that's really it for Suddenly I See on CICK 93.9 FM in the Smithers, BC area. I want to thank Dr. Lee Erkin for so graciously joining us today and for making it so much fun. I also want to acknowledge the courage it took for my friend Laszlo Polgár to co-host this program. You've been hearing less of Laszlo's voice in these later segues because they're preparing to move to the big city to study animation. Laszlo is a gifted and charming artist, yes, but they're a delightfully warm and imaginative person who deserves to be celebrated for being wow. One final grandmotherly hug to our listeners. Don't be afraid of someone because they're different. You'll find that acknowledging another person's differences can wear some of your rough edges off, making you even cooler. If you have anything to share with us, we look forward to hearing from you. Call the CICK station at 250-847-8769 and leave us a message. Meanwhile, see you around town, Wizzy.